Amen. Thank you, Ms. Renee. I'm glad that his ways are higher than my ways, that his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. I want to preach a message entitled, for the tape room's sake, Comforting Questions for the Conquering Christian. Now, I almost entitled it a little bit something different because I believe in our day we're watching the death of our democracy is what others would say. But, folks, I hope you realize that democracy is something that we were not given when we got the Constitution. We were guaranteed a constitutional republic. There's a great contrast between the two, and I know that you didn't come for a history lesson, although it all is involved in the history of our nation. As a Christian nation, you say, well, it shouldn't be political, then why do we'd say amen to having a Christian nation, would we not, in foundation? So it means it was founded upon the principles of the Word of God and upon the principles of Christianity. And so as we look at our nation, we desperately need to pray in the coming week for the decision that the Supreme Court will make, that God will turn their hearts and help them to make a right decision. No one ever in a free nation should be mandated to do anything that no one knows what the outcome will be. Amen and amen. And if you showed up this morning and thought that it just got political, I'm sorry, but we have been political for a very long time. Because I am not only a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ, but I also am a citizen of these United States. And so you cannot separate the two. Even though that they've been preaching separation of church and state a long time, I believe the state should stay out of the church, but I believe the church is made up of Christians who also make up the delegating or voting body of the nation. So we don't have to stay out of politics. They got to stay out of the church. Amen and amen. Let me just say again this difference for those of you that would question what I said about the republic. A republic is a government run by the people, with each individual local state having sovereignty, all right, over, if I could say it this way, over their own area. A democracy is where we are only a federal government and we don't have states. A democracy is mob rule. And rather than having a democracy of, if I could say it, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, it's more of, it would be saying, a government of the mob, all right, by the puppet masters and for the puppet masters. And if we're not careful, we'll watch a group of people vote in something that nobody in most of our states really want, but that the puppet masters have driven the mob to do. Folks, it's time that we speak up as a nation, as a people. It's time as Christians that we realize that it's not only, listen, as a Christian, we desperately need to worship, but we need to realize the day and age we're in, where we are. And his ways are higher than mine. If I read the book and I understand it correctly, then God, even in this late day, and as terrible as it looks, God is moving in the hearts of people to bring everything into fruition just the way he said he would. That he's going to present one day, God is going to snatch out his church and his people. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to remind each other, this isn't our home. We're just a passing through. We're supposed to comfort each other. In the Bible here in chapter 8, although sometimes we misinterpret some of the things that we find there, I think we need to understand that there are comforting questions that are posed and answers given in some of the questions. That Romans chapter 8 is given not only to the believer, that those that are called according to the purpose of God. Now let me just say this in short as we get ready to begin the message and I read here. I want to encourage you that I also want to say the Landmark Baptist Church, its doctrine is in no way Calvinistic. I'm going to read a few verses that talk about predestination or being predestinated. That all that everything, then when you kind of introduce your mind to the word predestined or God's elect, that is not about God choosing some people to be saved and others to be lost, but all about His ways are higher than mine, the foreknowledge of an almighty God. The God who is not limited by time can look through the ages and see every man, woman, boy, or child that will receive Him in salvation. It has nothing to do with God choosing someone to be saved and someone to be lost. If you want to get down to God's choice, God chose all men to be saved. He died on Calvary for every man to have redemption. And He draws and pulls and calls all men into Himself, but only a certain amount of people answer. And God is so much higher than you and I, He knows the ones that are going to answer the call in salvation. So I just wanted to get that out of the way at the beginning. That was all introduction. Now we can get to the message. And if I offended you about speaking about politics, it was not my intention to offend you. But let me say, we are in a dark day. We are in a day where really we are watching the death of our republic. While I clicked off a year in the pastorate, some men sat in jail with no trial, treated worse than people in Guantanamo Bay, and they're housed in a little place called Washington, D.C., because they walked into a place that is supposed to be called the people's house. They had every right to be there. Now, some of the things that happened, I can't approve of and check off a box and said they should have done that. But I'm here to tell you, there are people all across the nation that did much worse and burned the cities and took and made, if I could say this, they took over cities in tyranny, and they didn't get jail time like these folks have gotten. And if you think that has to do with the law, that has everything to do with politics. And I think the people that put them there ought to get exactly what they gave them. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. But amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, comforting questions for the conquering Christian. I desperately want to spend a year on the conquering side of the Christian life. I don't want to be hand-fed a sour, poochy mouth, diseased Christian looking at the news and wondering what in the world is going to happen and expecting God to renovate the world. Look, don't expect for God to change everything and make it better until He comes again and sets up His rule and reign. And for those of you that may have been upset about the whole Calvinistic idea, you may be thinking that the world is supposed to get better and better, but God is winding things down so that His Son can come for His church, take us back to be with Him, marry His bride, and come back again and rule and reign with a rod of iron. Amen and amen. So don't look for God to fix it until He's fixing to take us out first to be with Him. Amen. So that's just a little bit of eschatology for you. And that's just a big world to say end times things. Verse 28, I'll begin the message with saying that these comforting questions ought to comfort your heart. And you ought to desire to conquer the things of this world. When times get worse and the tribulation gets bad, I'm looking up and looking for a redeemer to come back in the clouds and to snatch me out to be home with Him. You say, well, haven't you been looking at that for a long time? Yes, but it's looking a lot like He's soon coming. When I was a teenager and said, you know, everybody else, the preacher was saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I was saying, hold up and wait until I get married. When I got married and I said, hold up and wait until I have children. That's what I thought when the preacher would preach, Jesus is coming again. I'd say there's something else I want to do first. Hey, folks, I've come to the place now where I've got teenagers, and I say, Lord, come quickly. I would like Him to tarry His coming until I could be a grandpa, amen? But I would still rather His will be done. Here in the Scripture, as a Christian, believing that Jesus is soon returning, He's going to speak to us and try to comfort our hearts. You know, the place that we should look as Christians for comfort is from the Word of God. So many times we look for comfort in so many other things. In the South, we look for it in chicken. Some of you look for comfort in boiled peanuts. I find no comfort in boiled peanuts. But when I look in the scripture and I see the dark day that's upon us and the things that could go wrong, it would be seeming in my life, I realize God is working all things together for His will and that I'm going to go home to be with Him. Here in verse 28, He reminds us in verse 28 for the believer, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Boy, that's exciting. That would preach by itself. But now we get down to the nitty-gritty of the comforting questions for the conquering Christian. He says in verse 31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" As a believer, there is a comforting question that we can resolve inside ourselves, that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Even though it doesn't seem that today on the battlefield a conquering Christian may win this battle, we may have a vote in the Supreme Court that doesn't go the way that we think it ought to, but I got to realize that God's ways are higher than my ways. I've got to realize that if that's what He's doing to bring all things together for His will to come and get His church, then God be His will be done. I want God to have His way and not my way to be done. So as we pray as Christians and say, God, help turn the heart of the Supreme Court, realize that if God doesn't answer the way we want to, maybe God's got a bigger plan in store for us. Maybe God wants to give us rest instead of revival. Maybe God wants to call His church home to be with Him like He always said He would. Maybe, this is the way I'd love to say it. I read over in the funeral about a place that was prepared. Maybe our place was done. Maybe His preparing is over and it's time for the pilgrims to come home. Hey folks, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. According to the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? There is a lot of opposition. Don't think you to be unique in every dispensation of God's plan. There has been an enemy. There has been others that would stand up against the will of God and against His people. And our age is no different. Until Jesus comes, we will have tribulation, we will have a struggle, and we will have a battle, but we can be conquerors through Jesus Christ. If we remember who, look at the scripture with me, if God be for us, who can be against us? He says in verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" So He just pretty much says, if God is going to not spare His own Son, if God is willing to let His Son be crucified on Calvary, to die and rise again for the sins of all men, then what is it that God would hold back from the Christian? What good thing would He not give us if it was for our good and His glory? Sometimes we get upset with God because God doesn't answer in our time and in our way. But God's still working in our lives, and we need to realize sometimes when He calls them home to be with Him, it was better for them. Even though it's not our will, but it was better for those that He called home. Sometimes we need to realize when He doesn't give us everything we want, He might be trying to draw us nearer to Himself to strengthen our soul instead of our bank account. Sometimes when He makes a hard time and we got to push through it, maybe He's trying to give us understanding instead of exactly what we thought we needed all along. I don't know about you folks, but I desperately in 2022 want to walk closer to God than I ever have. I want to know Him closer. I want to understand His word and His will more than I ever had in my life. And the way to do that is to walk with Him closely and to desire His will over my will. I've spoken much lately in Wednesday night about the heart. I've spoken much about the reaction. I even preached this morning at the trailer park about wholehearted surrender. As a Christian, God desires wholehearted surrender from us. He wants us to realize, if God be for us, who can be against us? God's ways are higher than my ways. If I'll just give him my all, it's going to be so much better for me. He comforts us with these questions. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Folks, I want you to understand, we live in a day and age where it used to be a popular thing to ask a Christian that if you were put on trial for being a Christian, could you be proven guilty? Would your neighbors come and testify that every Sunday morning you're not at home? Would your neighbors come and testify when they speak to you? They can't get through a conversation without you testifying about whose you are, that you're the Lord Jesus Christ because you've been bought with a price. Could your coworker say, yeah, that guy's a Christian? He doesn't like it when other people use the name of God in vain around him. He doesn't like it. He won't stand for that. When he talks about things, you know, that guy's always saying, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, when things go right. Yeah, he's a Christian for sure. Hey, folks, I just want you to know we have come to a place that it's not any man that's going to stand in justification against us or judge us. The one that is the holy judge of all the universe is the one that will make the call on whether we've been justified or not. That means seen just as if we never sinned. For the Christian that's here today, and you know that you know that you know that you're saved, you know that Jesus Christ took your place on Calvary and paid for your sin debt, and that it's not one thing or one red nickel that you came up with or anything that you could work up in this life, but it was all because he paid it all for your sins, and it's he that is found just. It's he that is found perfect. It's he's the one that imputed his righteousness to you for you to be found justified. If you're in the building this morning and you came here and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you've never accepted Christ's payment upon Calvary for your sin, boy, today is the day of salvation. Boy, today is the day for you to realize that no other man can justify you. No decision of the Supreme Court of these United States, no World Court of the United Nations could ever find me guilty of my sin, because it's all under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm justified just as if I never sinned, not because I'm perfect, but because he's perfect. Amen. Not because I'm holy, but because he's holy. Amen. Not because I'm good, but because he is good. Hey, folks, when we get out and we stand in front of all the people around us, the good that they should see in you. You know, we often try to do good. You know, sometimes we try to bake cookies for somebody. Or we want to take some things by the house. And those things are good things. Sometimes I've had people, you know, they realize that, you know, these cats and animals and people want to save the whales and the polar bears. And people give to all that kind of stuff. And they feel like they're doing some good works. And there are things in the scripture that God tells us we ought to try to help the poor when it's in our hand to do. We ought to try to help with those things. But the good that we do can never outweigh our bad. We can't teach Sunday school enough. We can't give to the poor enough. We can't help out our neighbor enough. We have to come to a place where we reckon ourselves a sinner, lost and on our way to hell. Realizing that that is truly what a sinner deserves because God said so. And realize that if we don't accept someone else's payment, the payment of Jesus Christ. I read the scripture, John 14, but I read all the way to verse 6 that Jesus said of himself, not of others testifying, but what he testified of himself, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, believer, if you're here today, you can say amen because you know that Jesus is the way. Amen. That he is the truth and he is the life. And if you're here and you're looking, one of the men this morning, don't necessarily intend to use this in the message, but you know, much is being said, and especially because we're in Florida, about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. But an interview was taken of him, and he's won so many Super Bowls, and he's conquered so many things in this life, and seems to be a man of great success. But he's a driven man, trying and looking for something. And he said to the interviewer, who asked him about, you know, what's next, and is it ever enough? And he just pretty much, like any rich man would say, or anyone who lives outside of knowing that they're saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, he just said, I'm still searching for something. I still need something else. I don't know what's next and what will be after football. You say, well, why is he still playing? Because he doesn't know what else to find fulfillment in. Well, he's playing because he's winning. No, because if there was something else that he liked more, he could be doing that. But he's looking for that thing that he hasn't found yet. He's looking for that peace that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at the interviewer, and the interviewer said, what is that to you, Tom? He said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Amen. Hey, folks, you say, well, why doesn't somebody tell him? Maybe somebody has. But faith cometh by hearing. You know, you can tell somebody something, but they won't hear it. You know, you can get up. I guarantee you that every person that sits on the Supreme Court, and everybody that's in conferences and Congress has heard, even in the Senate has heard somebody speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they really didn't give a hearing to it. They didn't really listen. They didn't make a choice, because if they heard. Do you know in Psalms 138, it even talks about all the kings of the earth. You know, one day, everybody that thought they were too big for their britches will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will hear praises from the saints that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they will bow the knee and they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every king, every hoity-toity rich person, every person that has been lifted up in pride, and even the devil himself will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a fact, folks. But you know, the ones that will find their way, the truth and the life in Jesus Christ, are the ones that bowed the knee on this side of heaven. Are the ones that bowed their knee on this side of judgment. That found that redemption in him, that they realized they were a sinner. They realized they were lost. They realized there was a devil's hell. And the only way to get heaven was by the one who paid it all for them. Hey, folks, there's comfort in these questions. It is God that justifieth. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. There's one that stands before God and condemns the believer, and his name is the old smut-faced devil. And he's bringing charge after charge after charge before the Lord. He did it to Job. He tried to do it to Job. He did it on others, and he's still trying to do it to you. But when he gets there and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what God says? I can't find anything. I've looked at the account, and it's covered in blood. He's justified, just as if he never sinned. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If it wasn't enough that God would go and prepare a place for us, that heaven would be purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because of his resurrection, he now sits at the right hand of the throne of grace, waiting and wanting to fulfill the needs and the longing of your soul. That same chapter 138 of the book of Psalms says that when we cry out to God, he will strengthen my soul. Hey, folks, do you know that there's no other person on planet that they can strengthen your flesh by giving you a little bit of chicken noodle soup? Chicken is always involved in strength. You were waiting for it, weren't you? Amen. But I got to tell you, things strengthen the flesh. And some people are real. God has given them a gift to lift up your spirit. They'll just be an encourager. That's why we come to church. Other people that believe like we do, who are walking and trying to do right like we do, and we come and we try to encourage each other in the fellowship of the family of God and try to get each other charged up to go back out. But there's only one person. There's only one book that can strengthen the inner man and strengthen my soul, and that is Almighty God in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sitteth at the throne of grace, waiting to make intercession for you. Amen. In your time of trouble, when you cry out to him, he says, Father, let's give it to him. Look, he's justified. His sins are under the blood. He wants to help us. Look, he wants to do this. Let's give it to him. Let's let him serve us. Let's encourage him today. Let's strengthen him in the inner man. Hey, folks, we don't often think about it that way, but when I cry out, I'm just not making a prayer that doesn't hit the ceiling. It goes through the atmosphere right into the throne of grace, and Jesus Christ himself hears my prayer and says, Father, let's grant him these needs. Let's grant him his prayer. Let's heal him of his infirmity. Let's bless that church. Let's give to the believer. Questions that comfort the Christian are found in Romans chapter 8, and we need to desperately take them to heart in a year that would seemingly be something that could be just a wash, or some of the same, or some of the worst like we've ever had in all of history or our history. No, we need to read the questions and realize these questions are not just questions. There's answers. They're comforting to the believer if we let them be and we decide to be conquerors through Jesus Christ. He doesn't finish there, folks. He gives us this thing. See, we understand that because of whose we are, you know, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He says, who's going to lay anything to their charge? Who is he that condemneth? Then he says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, all the things that we talked about before that we have in Jesus Christ is love from an almighty Father who loves us and died for us and rose again to intercede for us and is coming again for us. But while we wait, under the inspiration of God, the Apostle Paul writes and pens down, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, the desperate need of the hour. We live in a day and age where people break contracts so easily. We live in a day and age where people can walk on the Constitution of these United States like it's just any piece of paper. Like it really wasn't a contract laid down from heaven for our United States people. I mean, really, taken from the Word of God and tried to lay out. Our founding fathers made the statement that it was unfit to rule people who were not moral people. You wonder why our nation collapses from within is because our people are no longer moral. So as we face these end times, and we look up and we pray and we reach into heaven and have God answer our prayers through the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes if we are not careful, we'll think about that things could separate that, break that tie. Somebody could get in between, or we could even fear men and what they could do unto us. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, said, this is what people are going to be thinking about. Who could separate us from the love of Christ? He has a long answer, folks. He says, shall tribulation? He questions it. He answers it with another question. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? I've been preaching about this, and no matter what the decision comes, one day the world will look just like what he's talking about. And it could be in our day. It could get so bad that we see greater tribulation, people in distress and in persecution. We could see famine. We could see nakedness and peril and sword. Look at verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. See, we'll realize that we've already won the victory. Yes, people still die, but there's one that conquered death, and he's my Savior. He's the one who loved me and died for me. He's the one that's given me a home in heaven. He's the one that's given to me the gift of eternal life because I accepted him as my Savior, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What's going to separate me from these things? Nothing. Not one old thing. He talks about all the things on earth, folks, and he talks about how we're more than conquerors. But then the Holy Spirit of God takes the heart of Paul and says, you're not done writing this chapter yet, friend. Because as much as there are in the natural realm, there's an enemy in the spiritual realm. And he begins to say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we contemplate the question, now that I'm saved, now that I'm on my way to heaven, who's going to take it from me? There's not a man on earth. There's no politician that can vote it out from me. They can't mandate it away from me. There's nobody that can take me away from the love of God in the natural realm of man. But there's a supernatural realm and nobody's got power. Not principality. Not powers. There's not an angel of God named Satan, the devil, or Lucifer that can take away what God has given to me in Christ Jesus my Lord. If that's not conquering, I don't know what is. If that's not victory, then I don't know what is. Complete victory for the Christian. One day, we'll look back on this age. We'll look on this age as God rules with a rod of iron, and we live and we look back on all that he said was true. We'll think to ourselves, I wish I lived more like a conqueror than I did when I was there on earth. Because see, we're going to stand clothed in righteousness. We're going to stand, man, I mean, and see Jesus face to face and watch him rule with a rod of iron. Be his bride and be close to him. Rule and reign with him. That'll be a conquering time. But God wants us to believe him so much that that day is coming. He wants us to live that way now. He wants us to live like no man is going to tell me that they can separate me from God. No man is going to mandate the close of a church. No man is going to mandate the separation of God and his people. Hey, folks, I just want to remind you today how much of a conqueror you are in Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can accept him today and become that conqueror that I preached about. You can become a person who repents of their past. Say, what's repentance? Repentance is turning from anything else you believe in. That means maybe you thought your works would save you. You got to turn from that. Maybe you thought this old baptismal tank could save anybody. That water can't save you. It don't matter if it was running water, it couldn't save you. Sunday school can't save you. Growing up in the nursery can't save you. Only a personal acceptance of Jesus Christ and his finished work can save you. And today we can take the Bible and show you what the Bible says on how you can receive Jesus if you would simply turn to him. We have an invitation at the end of the service, and we invite you to come down, and we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how you can be saved. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll become your intercessor. He'll become the conqueror in your life. He'll be the one that strengthens your inner man. He'll be the one you'll have all these comforting questions that you can hold on to as a Christian as we see the end approaching. Say, Brother Parson, you believe that? I have lived that for so much of my life. You're not looking at a perfect man. You're looking at a redeemed one. You're not looking at a man that did it on his own. You're looking at a man that was justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. hey, I'm looking at a redeemed people. But if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I beg you to step out and receive Him as your own. Get saved. Leave different than when you came in. Be saved today if God spoke to your heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as those come that are going to lead us in the music, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And if God has spoken to your heart and asked you to receive Him as your Savior, I ask you to ask God for courage right now to step out when we call for you. The invitation is to you to come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can accept Christ as your Savior. Please don't let this time go past. Maybe you've waited through other invitations, but make this invitation the one where you get saved. If you're a believer and the times are getting you down, I pray you'd come and ask God to help you be comforted with all of the Scripture today, that you'd be encouraged to serve Him, to live like a conqueror like you ought to today. Would you stand to your feet? As Brother Burt begins to sing, if God spoke to your heart, would you step out and come?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me? As Christians, would you pray? If God is working in here today, there's others that know for sure that they are on their way to heaven, but there's others that are not sure. Maybe you spent some time doubting whether you're saved or not. Why don't you make today the day of salvation? Why don't you get it settled this morning? A brand new year. Why don't you live a conquering, confident Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you come and put your trust in Him and settle it for sure? If you're here and you don't know, would you step out and come as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Had some come. We're hanging on just a little while. I believe the Lord's leading my heart. Would you pray with us today? Would you pray that God would encourage somebody to step out? I don't want to hang on or prolong the invitation, but if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and receive Him today? Is God speaking to your heart? There are a bunch of people that did just what you need to do. They stepped out, came down an aisle, and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is your invitation today to come and receive Him. As Brother Burt sing, why don't you step out and come? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking but me and God. Why don't you step out and come?
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as He, God, I come.
Thank you for praying. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be heading back after we pray and close the service, and I'll be at the back door. I'd love to take the Bible. You don't have to walk an aisle to get saved. You simply need to know for sure you're on your way to heaven by asking Jesus into your heart, and we'd love to take the time to show you just how you can do that. I'll meet you at the back door if you want me to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. There's a lot of people that got saved at the back door, folks. Amen. And so if you're here, don't leave without knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. We're always sad when people don't get the opportunity to walk the aisle and get saved, but somewhere on the property today, I'm sure there's a young person right now that is having the Bible open before them and they're receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank God for the buses. The buses were way up today. Amen. I want you to pray about that. We'd love to see God double that number that we had on the board back there today. And we went up way up over 200. We'd like to see it way, way up over that. Amen. A good tripling of that would be good for Anniversary Sunday, wouldn't it? Amen. So we need to make it a matter of prayer. And, you know, there's a bunch of bus workers in here. And while others pray, we need to go and find those ones that need to get on the bus route. And so make it a matter of prayer with us. We're going to be praying that way. We want you to do so. And then pray for that day. Boy, there's nothing like a beautiful sunny day on that day of January. But we've had a few where God had to open a hole up right in the middle of a mess, didn't he? So let's just pray that the whole place be clear so everybody knows they can come and enjoy it. And we can start now in doing that. But we're going to go and ask God to bless us tonight and bring us back to this place at 7 p.m. And ask Brother Congner, you come and close us out in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our service tonight.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the freedom to come into your house this morning and worship you. And Father, we thank you for our pastor, the man of God, Lord, that brought the message, the powerful message this morning of being conquerors. And Father, we just pray for decisions that yet need still to be made. We're having a closing prayer, but that doesn't close decisions being made in hearts today. So Father, may you continue to work in hearts. Thank you again for this place, for this time this morning. Be with us now as we're dismissed. Look forward tonight to the services which you have for us. And Lord, thank you again for being a God that's always good, and you're good all the time. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.